Hi. What's up? Okay. I was reminiscing yesterday. When I have nothing to do, I reminisce. To me, reminiscing is the same as meditation. There's no difference. I sit in a chair. It's very quiet. Nothing's happening. The TV is off. Phone's not ringing. Nobody's calling my name, asking me to do stupid, ridiculous stunts. Nothing like that. Just sitting in a chair in the quiet of my own mind. And I reminisce. There's just, my mind cannot be blank. It can't. I listen to all these meditation experts and say, Ron, you've got to meditate. It's great for you. It invigorates you. It's healthy. It's cleansing. What you do, and I say, well, okay, how do you meditate? All right, here's what you do. You sit down in a chair. I can do that. I do that all day. I can do that. And then you make your mind a blank. Okay, hold it. I can't do that. That I can't do. How do you make your mind a blank if you don't have a concussion from playing football? How do you make your mind a blank? I can't. I don't. So I reminisce. I think about things that happened in the past. I go to my happy place without using my hands. Hey, that's a joke. Can you figure out what that meant? You're supposed to go to a happy place. You're supposed to picture yourself sitting by a waterfall or... See, when I can't picture myself sitting by a waterfall. When I think of waterfalls, I think of putting on like a yellow raincoat and paying $20 to get on the Maid of the Mist and take a cruise underneath Niagara Falls. I mean, that to me is a waterfall. No, Ron. No, a pleasant, serene waterfall. A babbling brook. Brooks? I don't sit by brooks. I never sat near a brook. Ron, haven't you just like stood near a brook and watched the water go down the brook? First of all, I don't know what a brook is. Sounds like someone who can't pronounce book, so I don't know what that is. I've seen babbling things, like used to date this babbling girl. My God, she would not shut up. She would not shut up. No matter what the subject, no matter what was happening, she just talked and talked and talked. May believe like I wasn't there. She never said, Ron, she never involved me in the conversation. She just babbled like a brook. Yeah. Yeah, that helps me meditate.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
I didn't know we were in color now. That's great.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
That's funny.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Thank you. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you very much. That's That's why I went into television and radio, for that. There's no other job where before you even start, they applaud. I love that. What kind of job do you have? Do you work in front of a computer all day? Do people ever applaud you?
No, they don't.
Do they ever tell you you're doing a good job?
No, they don't. They just pay me to check
whether you're doing a good job or not?
Yeah, that's right.
No feedback?
No.
Do you like your job?
I hate it.
No wonder. I like my job because I get applause for doing absolutely nothing. I can suck, and I'll still get applause. I used to do stand-up comedy.
Comedy.
It was a horrible time in my life because you are your own product. If you suck, then you suck. It's too much. It's just too much. If you tell a bad joke or you're not funny, people, they won't boo you necessarily. They could, but they don't necessarily boo you. But they tell you immediately by their response as to how you're doing continually. You don't get that at a regular job.
I just hit the enter button, Joan. I just hit the enter button and I sent that email.
Yeah, so what? What do you want, a prize? That's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, that's not good feedback. You don't get feedback for anything at your normal job. Do you work in a store, in Walmart or something like that, or Best Buy? Do people actually applaud you?
Never.
They did me when I was doing stand-up. One of the places I did it at was a town called Taunton in Taunton, Massachusetts. There's a Holiday Inn there, and I used to do stand up there on Fridays and Saturday nights. They had this little theater, and there were a number of comedians. I wouldn't call us comedians. I would call us sadomasochists. And you get up in front of a crowd. There were about like 150, 200 people, something like that. And you would do your stuff. You know, you would do what you thought was funny, would make them laugh. But everything you did was open to reaction. Every word, every sentence, every time you touched your nose, everything was an immediate response. And it was a very odd job. very weird. But I did enjoy one part of it, and one part of it only. And that was when the MC would get in front of the microphone. Our next comedian is a funny guy. He does radio in the area. You're going to love him. Ron Van Dam. And I would walk out, and for doing absolutely nothing but having my name announced, I got wild applause. It was amazing. For doing nothing at all. Nothing at all. Thank you. Thank you very much, by the way. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, my God. Oh, you like me. You really like me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And then you would do your first joke. Hi, I'm Ron Van Dam. Hey, it's cold outside, isn't it? Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You just loved me. Whoa. You loved me like 10 seconds ago. Now you hate me. What a roller coaster of emotions it was doing that stand-up comedy stuff. I did it for about 3-4 years. And then I stopped because I realized, this is weird. This is not a normal thing to do. This is not what people are supposed to do. So I stopped doing it. And the day I stopped doing it, I felt better. I really did. But I missed the applause. But, ladies and gentlemen, all you got to do, here's what you do, kids. Forget these motivational speakers and all these, oh, I'm not loved, nobody loves me. Look, that's crap. Nobody loves you because, for a very good reason, because nobody loves you. I mean, it's okay. Not everybody has to love you. That was the lesson that I had learned. Not everybody has to love you. And then the internet came along, and they had a thing called Facebook. Remember that? Oh, it's still around? I did not know. I don't go to it. And there we count the number of people that supposedly love us. It's gauged by the exact number of friends that you have. Betty, how many friends do you have?
I have 275 friends. We could fill an auditorium.
Betty, they're not your friends. Joe, how many friends do you have?
I have 1,000 friends. Thank you very much.
Joe, you don't have 1,000 friends. Maybe you have 2. The rest of them, they don't even know what you look like.
Oh, you're hurting me, Ron.
It's true. Now we're into the thing of actually gauging how much we're liked. When it's your birthday, how many birthday greetings do you get?
They all love me. All the people who are friends of mine, they all love me.
They don't love you. The computer told them it was your birthday. Otherwise, they would have forgotten. What, are you kidding me? Do you think they walk around all year? I can't wait for Joe's birthday. It's coming up soon. I'm going to send him a message. I don't have to send him a card. I'll just send him a message. This is fantastic. It saves me money.
They didn't remember your birthday, Joe. They don't even know who you are at all.
All your friends are friends of friends of friends of friends of the friends and the friends of the friends that you don't have. Those are your Facebook friends. That's all I need is my face. If I was walking down the street and a barrage of bullets started coming at me, all my 1,000 Facebook friends would take a bullet for me.
No, Joe, they wouldn't. They don't even know who you are. They couldn't pick you out of a crowd. And if they could, they'd probably say to themselves, let the guy die. He's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're all in a world of false congratulatory reaction. All of us. We crave attention. More than candy, we crave it. And I craved candy. Later on in the show, we have a meditation expert joining us. She also does yoga. I eat yoga. I don't know what the big deal is there. They have a Boston cream pie flavored yoga, which is, what? Huh? Oh, that's yogurt.
Oh my God, I got the two confused. It's funny what a couple of letters will do to a word. Completely different meaning.
Okay. She's a yoga expert and she probably eats yogurt. I really have no idea. And she does meditation, and I'll speak to her and try to figure out how the hell you do that. We'll do that a little bit later on in the program, which is rapidly approaching since I'm talking a lot apparently today. Wouldn't it be interesting if I did a radio show? I did an episode where I didn't really talk. I just sat here for over half an hour and picked my nose. That would be entertaining. Of course, it's radio. You wouldn't know I'm picking my nose unless I told you. You don't know anything unless I tell you. That's the wonderful thing about radio. I choose my professions in a very, very odd manner. But hey, that's me. Whatever. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, more program. Because this is important. This show isn't just me talking, babbling like a brook. The show also gives you a lot of lifestyle information. You listen to this grouchy old asshole, and he complains about everything. But he's sometimes funny, sometimes he's not. But it's, he's really, that's me though, that's me. Hey, that's me. Hey, that's me. Let me ask you a question here. Let me ask you a little question. Did you ever feel that something was
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
I saw a guy yesterday walking around. He was in a mall, and he was wearing a pair of jeans, two legs. And did you ever see somebody just wear one jean, just one leg? That'd be an interesting fashion statement. I can't afford a pair of pants, just one leg. That's all I can do, one leg at a time. Wasn't that a TV show? With Bonnie Franklin, one leg at a time. I might get confused with something else. So this guy is walking around the mall, and he's wearing pants, and he's wearing a T-shirt. And the T-shirt wasn't a normal T-shirt. It was a camouflage shirt. It was the, you know, with the little gray and bean-colored camouflage suit. Shirt, I should say. And I in the service there, you know, in the Army and all that, they wear camouflage uniforms, camouflage outfits, so that if they're standing in front of the woods, you can't see them at all. And it's effective. From a distance, if someone's wearing a camouflage outfit, you have to look twice and say, oh my God, there's a person standing there. So this guy's wearing a camouflage T-shirt. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is the point of that? What are you doing? Why would you go out in public wearing a camouflage shirt, a camouflage T-shirt? Do you think I can't see you? What's the point of that? Is that a fashion? Let me tell you something. Camouflage pattern is not something that is attractive. It's meant to make you blend into the background. What is this guy trying to blend into the mall? I mean, what are you trying to do with a camouflage T-shirt in the mall?
Is that a guy standing over there and in front of that place and in front of that AT&T store?
Yes, I think it is a guy.
Well, he must be wearing a camouflage shirt. He's blending right into the storefront. And if he didn't move his arm, I wouldn't know he was there.
I always feel like walking up to a person wearing a camouflage T-shirt and saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I'm sorry I bumped into you. I didn't know you were there.
Hey, you walked right into me. Ouch. You walked right into me.
It's your camouflage T-shirt. I couldn't see you.
Really?
Yeah, you blended into everything. Stop wearing the camouflage T-shirt. People must bump into you all the time.
No, actually, they don't. You're really the first person ever just like walked right into me.
Because you're wearing a camouflage T-shirt. Take that off, man. I should sue you. Standing there trying to be invisible. Standing in front of the wall like that.
You can't see me standing in front of the wall?
No, you have a camouflage T-shirt on. You blend into the wall,
but the wall isn't camouflage.
No, I know it's a regular white wall, but
with the camouflage t-shirt, I can't see you.
Wow, I didn't know it worked so well.
It does.
I would never say that. I would never walk into a person who was wearing a camouflage t-shirt, but I've always wanted to. Hey, have you ever wanted to walk into a person wearing a camouflage t-shirt and make believe that you bumped into them and then you tell them, I'm sorry, but I couldn't see you wearing a camouflage t-shirt? Did that ever happen? It did, didn't it? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's the camouflage t-shirt routine. Thank you very much. Did you enjoy it? Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Why I did stand-up comedy. That was one of the routines that I did. The camouflage t-shirt routine. Oh, it killed. It killed. People just loved it. A lot. They loved it. I think they when they were on their way home from the stand-up comedy show, they'd say, that Ron guy, that camouflage t-shirt routine, that was amazing. Anyway. It snowed recently, and people are funny, aren't they funny? These people, these entities that surround us, they call them people, aren't they funny? People were saying, it snowed, it's beautiful. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't the snow beautiful? No, it's dangerous. When you drive on it, you can skid off the road and kill yourself. Isn't snow beautiful? What are you kidding me? If it's so beautiful, why after it falls do we try to remove it? Get that stuff out of here. Just shove it together and put it in a large pile in a parking lot. Get that stuff out of here.
But isn't it beautiful when it's coming down?
Oh, it's beautiful when it's coming down. It's also beautiful after it gets all dirty and we shove it into a big pile. That's also beautiful.
Snow is so beautiful. Snow's beautiful.
I can't open my door. What are you talking about, snow? I'm snowed in. I can't open my door. If snow is so beautiful, when people realize that snow is going to be coming, it's going to be snowing, why do they run to the stores and buy supplies? Like there's going to be a nuclear holocaust. You got to get a lot of water. Get enough water to survive for 4 days and to fill a bathtub and get canned goods because it's going to snow.
Isn't snow beautiful? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't stuff that comes out of the sky and covers the ground to the point where you can't go anywhere and you're stuck, isn't that a beautiful idea?
See, I don't mind rain. I think rain is beautiful. Rain is cleansing. Oh, rain is cleansing. If you have a dirty car and your car is outside when it's raining kind of hard outside, it'll clean your car. It'll clean your car without soap. Rain is good. Rain is good. Rain cleans the streets. Gardens grow in rain. You need rain for flowers to grow and grass to grow, and things get very, very green and very pretty. Rain is good. When you go into the shower, when you clean your body off, you have an inside rain machine. It's called a shower head. It makes the water come out like rain, and you stand under it and you clean yourself and you feel very refreshed afterwards. You can wash your hair. This is all in the artificial shower, which is really rain. We even call it a rain shower. Is it going to rain tomorrow? It's not going to rain really a lot. It's going to be a rain shower. Shower, I know showers. Showers are great. I take showers. Do you take snows? No. No one takes a snow. I'm feeling a little dirty. I'm going to go into the, I'm going to go take a snow. You don't take a snow. You remove snow. Snow is something that people warn you about snow. The people on the weather forecast people, oh, be careful. Tomorrow it's going to snow all day. You'll be very, very careful. Driving's going to be horrible. You won't be able to get anywhere. The roads could close down. Be very, very careful. Make sure you get enough ice melt. Make sure your shovel's ready. Shovel ready tomorrow. It's going to snow. Snow is a good thing. the people who stand there and go, snow is pretty. It isn't pretty. It's pretty awful. And the only times it snows is when it's cold. It can rain anytime. It can rain. It's very, very pleasant. It's very nice. It's very refreshing. It means it's the temperature is it's nice and warm. It's a rain shower. Is it going to snow? Yeah, it's going to be freezing outside. It's going to be freezing outside. You after it snows, you touch the snow, your hand will fall off. It'll freeze immediately. It'll be a flash freeze, and your hand will fall off. Be careful. Well, Ron, what about like when it rains torrentially and there's flooding? Like, remember Hurricane Harvey, where everything is flooded because it rains so much? Yeah. What's your point?
What do you mean?
What's your point? What do you want? What are you saying? What are you saying? What's your point? What are you trying to say?
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Elena. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing today?
I'm not so bad, really.
Nice.
Elena Brower is a renowned author of the new best-selling journal Practice You, teacher, and she's a speaker. She's speaking to us now about something that I need very badly, and that's some stress relief, because it's a stressful time of year. Actually, it has been all year for me. But nonetheless, yeah, I'm looking for some direction here as to... how can we relieve stress, which can be very damaging?
We, especially at this time of the year, as you said, we are being exposed to a lot of different stimuli. We're asked to rush and get this and do that and be with these people and do this and run there.
Yeah.
One of those moments of the day, we actually can start to practice slowing down for ourselves, connecting to ourselves. And the best way to do that is via the breathing, always.
Yeah, even people with anxiety, I know that this actually helps them, meditation and yoga and stress relief.
For sure. When we take the time to move just a little bit, all the tension that builds up in certain parts of our bodies actually has the chance to dissipate and move around. And then after we move a little bit, stretch it out, move it around, strengthen a little bit, which is really the crux and the purpose of yoga, we can start to then listen to our breathing and extend our breathing, which actually helps to still the mind.
So yoga would be the physical stress relief and meditation would be the mental stress relief?
Precisely.
I see. And they work hand in hand, I assume.
They work best hand in hand. The yoga is really how we deal with all the stress that's built up in the tissues and the muscles. And then the meditation is how we deal with all the mind stuff.
Okay. Now, I would be considered a beginner, even though my generation was raised with meditation. I was never able to do it. Yoga concerns me a bit because I see in pictures and in videos having to do all physical kind of pretzel maneuvers, and I don't think I can do that anymore.
No, I wouldn't even try. What I usually instruct people to do is actually just try in your chair. You can right now grab the bottom of your chair where you're sitting and arch your back forward and just sort of open your chest a little bit, take a nice big deep breath in, and then exhale and round your spine.
Okay.
And then inhale and open it, and then exhale and round it again. You'll immediately start to feel a difference in the way that you're breathing and the way that you're holding yourself. Your spine gets a little longer, a little bit of stress and tension get released from your body.
Okay. Meditation-wise, here's my problem. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here, by the way. my problem is that my mind's always going, and that's, that's the stress thing going on. So for me to slow down my mind and put everything out of it is very difficult, yet that's the goal, though.
I would actually prefer that you do what my teachers have taught me, which is don't try and put everything out of your mind. Okay. Just start to train your attention onto your breathing. Right. So instead of changing something that's happening, which you don't want to do, your mind is a very potent mechanism.
Yes.
Just start to listen to your breathing. Your breathing will actually become more charming than the thoughts that are happening in your mind. And that's how meditation really begins to take hold.
That wouldn't be hard. Everything's more charming than what may be going on in my mind. So,
all right.
Okay, I'm exaggerating, but still, I think a lot of people are in that boat. I've read a lot and heard a lot about essential oils and fragrances that actually help in that direction.
Yes. The way that we can get the closest to nature, especially if we live in cities, is through the essences of the plants. They're incredibly calming and grounding, and they bring feelings of wellness and stability emotionally. And so I use them all the time on my family and on myself to bring me back to center.
Now, are the oils used in a fixture, or are they aroma smells from heated? What's the most effective way of doing that?
Oils are used really three different ways: aromatically, right, topically, or internally.
Okay.
And I prefer to just focus on the aromatic and the topical.
Yeah.
Aromatically, you can use them in a diffuser. You could literally just have a bottle of oil and bring it up to your nose and take a nice deep breath in, and you're already bringing a feeling of a clearer mind and better breathing. Topically, certain oils are already diluted with fractionated coconut oil, particularly with the oils that I use from doTERRA. And you can put those right on your hands, cup your hands over your nose, take a nice deep breath in, and you feel the same way that you feel when you're walking through the forest and you get that calming sensation being around all the trees.
Okay.
For moments at a time, you get that.
So that helps you put you in a different place mentally.
Absolutely, yes.
Image-wise.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, what oils, I guess it's a question of preference, but what oils, fragrances, tend to relax popularly?
The ones that are based with woods or flowers tend to be much more relaxing. We're thinking of things like lavender, frankincense, spruce leaf, which is in a blend that I love called Balance. I use it on my son, who's 11, every morning.
Yep.
Rub it on his feet. Lavender is just incredible for calming. Serenity is a blend that I use from doTERRA also that has cedarwood along with lavender and even Roman chamomile, which is very calming and relaxing too.
Yeah, I've heard chamomile. That's like tea and stuff. They're supposed to drink that, go to bed and stuff.
It's a flower, yeah.
Yeah. Are some oils better than others? I mean, some may be cheap and some may be actually more pure.
You want to find an oil that comes from a very reliable source, therapeutic grade, grown ethically, distilled, and made sure that you don't have any sort of fillers or pesticides or fungicides or herbicides. You don't know what you're getting if you're just buying it at the shop. And so it's important to make sure that you have quality.
That's what I was concerned about, because sometimes these things can be perhaps harmful by what you're inhaling and smelling, but in other cases, very, very good for you.
Correct.
Okay.
As with everything, really.
Well, that's absolutely true. Actually, it is.
Yeah.
When you go to a pharmacy and you see all the vitamins and all the supplements, some of them are not properly controlled or may even be harmful. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm excited about that. And do you put a certain amount of time aside each day for this?
I do. In the first thing in the morning, I just go ahead and fill up my diffuser. I put a couple drops of oil in. I do a little practice, a movement practice, and then I sit for 15, 20 minutes, sometimes longer. And it really helps to get me centered. You know, I have a young son, and I have a few businesses, and it makes all the difference to have that time in the morning before I get started.
Okay. What about at bed at night? Would it be smart to do a diffuser in your room as you're sleeping, or that's too much stimulation?
No, absolutely. There are certain oils, as we said, that are really relaxing and really calming and will bring, really support your sleep and your restfulness.
Okay.
Well, I've learned a lot today, and that's pretty good. Question is, where do I go to get these oils, you know, ones that are really good?
The company that I prefer is doTERRA, and you can look at those on doTERRA.com. And you can look around on their website because there's also information on how they take care of the planet and how they take care of their growers, farmers. It's a wonderful website, wonderful, wonderful company.
Great. And I'll spell that for the audience here, D-O-T-E-R-R-A, doTERRA.com. Great. Yes. Thank you for your time today, Elena. That's pretty good stuff, and have a great holiday.
And you, Ron. Thank you so much.
I should say a stress-free holiday.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. I don't know. Yeah. That's an interesting idea. The fragrances would help me pretty much relax. Let's all meditate now. If you're driving, don't do this because I'm not going to be responsible for that. But if you're not driving, sit back in a chair. Take your clothes off. Okay. All right, let's meditate. Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
I'm not to think of the fact that the moon looks a lot closer than it normally is, and that maybe the Mayans were right, and this is pretty much it. But for now, as the warmth of the river overtakes you, and you calmly float downstream, not at all thinking about the potential of a waterfall at the end of the stream, over which you could plummet and fall to your death on jagged rocks below. You're just calm, at one with the flow, moving softly through the universe, even as the universe continues to simply ignore you and your constant pathetic cries for help in a life that's gone terribly, terribly wrong. And now we're coming to the end of the meditation. You want to rise up out of the river, and not at all be concerned about the fact that you are buck naked and that there are natives along the riverbank who are pointing and laughing.
Wow. Whew, that was relaxing. Okay, I'm going to continue to meditate until tomorrow, when hopefully you'll join me again. Until that time, I wish you peace. Go forth and meditate.